Hey, everybody. How's it going? This is another episode of Autastic. I didn't know I was going to do the intro. I just pressed record and Kirk pointed at me, freaked me out because he always does it. But it's good to be back in control, baby. I'm never giving back the reins. Woo! The coffee just kicked in. Feel good. Just had a latte. You know what happened, Kirk?
Tell me about it.
My local coffee place down the street, you get a free coffee after 5 or 6, I can't remember, and today was my free one. I treated myself to...
Why do you get a free coffee?
Huh?
Why do you get a free coffee?
Because you're a regular customer, and they give you a stamp on your little rewards card.
Got it. So you do rewards card, not just everybody in the neighborhood. Got it. Okay.
I think I explained it off the top.
I must have missed it. I'm old. Remember I put information on telephone poles and look for you to find it?
The article today. Anyway, I got a coffee. I got a huge latte with a shot of extra shot in there. I am whizzing. Going back to the telephone pole comment, what happened was, my brother, who has autism, is calling me right now, but I am not going to pick it up. I'll call him back. But anyway, I'll pick it up for the sake of the podcast. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
I'm fine.
I can't talk right now. I'm doing a podcast. What do you want to talk? What are you going to talk about? Is there anything?
I do have a little update. I was on my computer and I watched one of the old episodes from the old show, Monster by Mistake.
I remember that show.
Yeah, it was about these two kids, Tracy and Warren Patterson. I guess I liked when Warren turned into a monster every time he sneezed.
Can you do a voice from the show?
Well, I guess I'm good at doing Gorgul and his servant from the show, like,
Okay, that was a good voice, but I gotta go because I'm recording this podcast, but do you want to do a quick Ernie and Bert?
Okay.
Wait.
Okay, Bert.
Oh.
Okay, Bert, good luck on your broadcast.
Thanks, Ernie. Appreciate it.
Okay, but Bert, maybe you can call back when you're ready, okay?
Okay, Ernie. I'm just going to do my job.
Okay. Sure thing, Bert.
Okay.
I know working can get a little tiring.
Yeah, it sure does. Okay, well, I'll meet you in our shared bedroom later, buddy. Love you, bro.
Bye.
My brother can't say I love you back, just like my dad. But anyway,
I think that's from your dad. I'm not sure that's autism. I think that's
from my dad.
Yeah, it's not being a modern man.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah.
But anyway,
it's one of the few things I can do. I can't say I love you. I don't mind that at all.
It's one of the few things. Well, I'm clearly
broken a lot of areas, but yeah. I say I love you. It's not.
Anyway, we're getting back to the thing about. The telephone pole. It was an inside joke from off air, and I was making fun of you because
it's true.
You were yelling at me.
Word.
You were like, you don't remember the article I sent you?
I sent you an article.
Because the article we're going to talk about in like 5-10 minutes or whatever. Kirk was like,
excited.
Off air, he was like, I sent you the article. Where's the article, man? And I'm like, I can't know. I don't remember some article. He's like, you never remember any article. I send you stuff. Never remember. And I'm like, all right, man. Well, I don't remember. You know, maybe it was 3 o'clock in the morning when I saw it. And I just said, yeah. He goes, you replied that we should do it. And I was like, okay, I don't remember. I'm sorry. Maybe I was drunk. I don't know. And then he's like, I can't find it anywhere. It's not under Messenger. It's not under Instagram Messenger. It's not under Facebook. It's not under text. It's not under email. He's like, check the notifications that I sent you on Facebook. I'm like, all right, man. It's not under any notifications. I just click on his Facebook profile. He posted it to his wall, did not tag me at all.
Well, I expect him to read it. I expect him to read my wall and follow up.
And then I go, buddy, you're yelling at me. It's the equivalent of you walking outside and posting, stapling a flyer to a telephone pole outside your house and being angry I didn't see it.
Yelling's a strong word. I was surprised. And I will say this in my defense. Graham goes, what about this? You sent me this about hiring 1 million people with autism. I'm like, we did that episode like 2 weeks ago. Did we? Oh, yeah, maybe we did.
I don't know. I got a lot of stuff going on.
So your memory doesn't give me a lot of confidence.
No, it doesn't. You can trick me real easy.
Remember that time you were like, no, you should have all my things when I die. And I was like, I don't want to. And you're like, come on, take them.
Sounds like me. I don't know why you'd want to trick a person with a mental disability and
pulled out the Trump
steal,
card.
By proxy from his autistic brother, who's younger, will probably inherit it.
First of all.
So you are abusing two people with mental disabilities.
First of all, if anybody's getting abused, it's this old man. There's no way that I'm going to outlive you. That's not going to happen.
I live pretty fast.
I'm going to outlive your hair, but not your whole body.
It hurts. Truth hurts.
Just joking.
Got a haircut? Do I seem more bald with the shorter hair?
I think shorter hair makes you look less bald.
Really? I like that. That's kind of why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Hide you the front.
Very smart. Smart move. Nobody's going to think
to look
at
that. Down here's a little thin up top here. You see?
I think it's like that for everybody.
Well, I had a front comb over because it's thicker around the top. Around my forehead is thicker than it is around the crown of my hair. So I was pulling it back, doing a double a front comb over, and it was working. But now I notice in pictures, you can see it's a little thin around the
crown. I think that's how most people describe comb-overs. It's definitely working. That's the...
No one ever said it. No one ever said you have a comb-over.
Nobody's ever said ever a comb-over's
working. I talked to babes. I asked them. I said, babes, you got a comb-over or not? They're like, they sprayed me with pepper spray, and then...
Who are you, weird man? And that's not the reason we don't like you.
Bald guy accosted me. No comb-over complaints. But anyway.
This is Comedian's Guide to Autism, guys. This is why I usually start out the podcast.
Hey, we got an interview in quickly. We did a couple impressions.
That's true.
You know, we got a fun story about you being senile.
Fun's a strong word, but we definitely got a story.
Anyway.
I was made fun of very meanly. I'm going to go home and cry later into a house with three dogs.
Yeah, we're recording again together. In New York City.
New York
the
City,
last
baby.
Episode we were together, and we're together again, and he's still staying at this house
together
with three
again.
Dogs. And
together again.
You know, and he's still got that sultry voice from the all the dander from all the dogs.
Listen, you gotta have something. I got the howdy doody face and the sultry voice.
You do look like a Norman Rockwell painting of a cop.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look like I'm ready for the Reno 911 reboot.
Yeah, you do. You do.
I got the short shorts. Let's get this party started.
Yes. You look like a retired quarterback.
Who joined the CHP. Because you don't have to have a degree for the CHP.
What the heck's a CHP?
California Highway Patrol. You only have to have a high school degree. That's true.
That makes sense. Anyway, let's get back on topic.
Let's do it.
You, before we go to you, let's finish. Because we were just talking about Peter. Or we just talked to Peter. We'll just get this out of the way. Get it out of the way. Seems a little harsh. I love my brother. I don't know how he found out that I'm taping a special in Montreal. It's a big deal for me, comedy special. I'm doing it on Monday at Just for Last Comedy Festival. I forgot the last, at JFL, Just for Last. Oh, okay. God, I think I do have autism. Anyway, moving on, my brother wrote me this. I don't know how he found out. I love him so much. He wrote me an email. He goes, hello to great whole older brother Graham. He's putting a hole in front of everything now. So congratulations on doing the next great whole indoor comedy shows of yours for sometime in Montreal from your own great whole younger brother Peter.
Isn't
that
love
lovely?
It.
Little love indoor it. Comedy show.
Indoor is the best.
I
prefer
love the
it over
guy.
Outdoor.
Gosh darn it. So you have some big news. You just got back from Ecuador.
That's true. Flew in yesterday.
Doing your yearly, you go down there, do some charitable
couple
work.
Couple times a
you
year,
devote
yeah.
Your time, your dad strength, your muscles.
Dad gut, too.
To building houses for the needy in Ecuador. Why don't you tell us about it? Last year, if you our listeners remember, you built a home for a mother who had a special needs child.
Yeah, Sebastian, his family.
And
yeah.
How is that going?
Good. The long-time listeners know it's a big family, 7 children, and one of them severely disabled. Checked in on them. They're plugging away.
They're indoors?
They're definitely indoors.
They're still indoors at the place you built them.
Yeah. The house is definitely 100%
done. That's success, baby.
Boom. We did it. And, yes. Oh, yeah, I just greeted you the way we do in Ecuador, I just realized. Yeah, in Ecuador, they slap hands and then fist bump.
It's cool.
It's very
That's what
Ecuadorian.
Skaters do here. We
Is
just
it really?
Did it. Yeah.
Oh, wow, I've been in Ecuador for 20 years.
We've been doing it. Skaters been doing that forever, baby.
Oh, maybe they some immigrated from Ecuador and started the skate movement.
Lords of Dogtown. Some of them seem
There's
Hispanic.
Some Latinos in there, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Great movie. Great movie.
Spanish X, whatever you call it now.
Latinx.
Latinx.
Spanish X, too.
Yeah.
If we're going to be racist, but not, it's not Latinx.
Mexican X. All the same below the border to me, pal.
What part of Mexico
but
are
I
you
do,
in, Ecuador?
I think they're all the same below the border, but I do respect their gender wishes. So Mexican
because
X to me.
Can get you banned out of show business.
I'm the racist guy who respects trans people. It's a new character I'm doing.
Oh, he knows who can get a ban in Hollywood. but as soon as the Latinos get some power, he'll be on board with that too. Don't worry, guys.
I laugh today. That's good. I could turn that into a bit. I think that's funny. Anyway,
it's very funny.
Anyway, if you don't know the backstory behind that, they don't want to go Latino, Latina. They go Latino. There's also women, so just go Latinx for everybody, and for they. That's where that comes from. That's
true.
A new thing that I learned probably 6 months ago. But anyway, get back on track. Sorry.
Sebastian's house is done.
Yep.
Roof.
This is the new kid, Sebastian.
Septic tank. No, that's the old kid. That's the old kid. He's 11.
Right.
From last year. Last August, you guys' Patreon contributed to that. I think you guys kicked in $400 or something. I don't know what it was.
Love you guys.
It's great.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I forgot the kid's name, but I remember the $400.
And then this year we did another little kid and his little family. Very... how do I say this respectfully? Very simple people. The mom and dad, they are just simple, very simple, simple people. You know, just, I don't, you know, no reading, writing, no. They work as like recycling, which is like, you know, going through trash and stuff. And just very simple people. But the kids are very sharp and, you know. When you get to a certain age,
they're poor, uneducated people.
Yeah, and you get to a certain age.
Doesn't mean they don't have value.
Right, there's only so much you can do. But when they're kids, they're just like moldable and malleable. So you get those kids and teach them to read and write, get them in school and get them to learn things. Man, you know, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. So the house we built this time is really, again, trying to help the next generation. By the next generation, people are already here, but... I think if you check my Instagram, there's pictures of it. I think the youngest is like 2.
You took some great pictures, man.
Thanks, man.
Really nice. Like, I mean, like, photojournalistic quality pictures, especially that one, the kid in the truck.
The car. Yeah, the truck. Yeah. Thanks. I think it got 20 likes or something.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of fans.
A couple hundred. It's fine. But, yeah, so that family, the girl really in those pictures really wanted to be in the pictures, and the boy was like, no paparazzi. It's pretty cute.
That's pretty funny.
No pictures. Don't take her picture. You know, siblings are. But she's like, no, I look nice. It's pretty funny. Yeah, that house is 80% done. You can see also we dug out the septic tank, and yeah, it was a fun trip. Honestly, I wish I could say that those trips, I come back invigorated. But honestly, physically, it's exhausting, dude.
You're an old man in the sun doing physical labor.
That concrete work is like work.
Yeah, man. You must be exhausted. You flew in yesterday?
Yeah.
Did you sleep well last night?
Yeah, 2 shows last night. I had a great
time.
You
did 2 shows?
Yeah, I closed that. Did 2 shows in Yonkers.
After like doing hard labor in Ecuador and flying in?
I love comedy, man.
Oh, you did Yonkers, so you need that was the money show.
Yeah,
just
I need
the
money.
Trip.
Yeah. You're headlining 2 shows, so it's money.
Yeah,
so.
Casino.
No, that little club at the strip mall, the casino. I haven't done that in years. The one, the racetrack.
Yeah, it's good money. What's that? What's the one with the casino or the race?
We should probably take this off air, but it's the not the racetrack. I did the mall, the strip mall. Yonkers Comedy Club. It's Ridgemore Mall or something. I don't know.
I've never done it.
I'll give you the guy.
All right. How's the money? Is it okay?
Let's talk about that off the air. But yeah.
Whatever. This is our lives. Who cares? How do you think we afford to do this?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's
anyway, we go to Yonkers and bomb so we can have spare time to do this podcast.
Anyway,
yeah, it's fun.
That's great, man. I'm glad you're here.
It's great to go back. It always makes me feel lucky just to have, you know, running water and sounds corny, but hot water shower and clean water to drink. And
what about the house you built? Does it have running water?
No, none of the houses out there have running water, but you do build a cistern and you build a septic tank. So now they have water. So if
is it a weeping bed or is it a septic tank? Does it have to be drained or does it do
it? It can be drained. Normally, though, what they'll do is, I'll tell you how they do it. We're way off topic, but I feel like we have two episodes in a row about poop. But you dig it out about 10 feet deep. The bottom, you do concrete. On the way up, you do bricks. The bricks are porous. And the first maybe foot of bricks, the bricks are in the mortar together. It's about 6 feet across, and it's in a circle because as the ground presses in, a circle will keep its shape versus a square will just collapse on itself. So you do the circle, and then as you get up past a foot, when you do the bricks and the mortar, you leave a gap of about an inch and a half between them. So that's for about 6-7 feet. And then the top 3 feet, again, the bricks together. The bricks themselves are also porous. So water will get through the bricks, red brick. It will not get through the mortar, you know, which is cement. But it will get through brick, and there's gaps. And so the water will push out, and the sediment poop will sink to the bottom. And, you can get 10, 15 years out of it. And sometimes after 15, 20 years, they'll just put a dirt over the top, seal it, and do another one right next to it. 40 years. Most people aren't living more than 40 years. And then you hope you get, you know, sewage in there eventually to that part of town. That part of town, nobody has sewage. Because the way sewage works, you have to hook up to the city sewage. Nobody's processing their own sewage.
No.
You know, even like when I lived in Connecticut.
So it is sort of a weeping bed then.
Sort of. But like when I lived in Connecticut, you had I'm blanking on the words, but you had those pipes that lead out, and it's called, just blanked on the word, but it's like the water would seep out. So it'd be similar to that when they do in the States, but then the top would have pipes that like leach fields that leach out the water, and so then you can get a lot longer out of it. But then you still should come they recommend every year or two and pump that septic.
Right.
And in theory, you could pump this one too, because it's the top's not closed because you have a pipe coming in. But it's much more hygienic than just pooping. Because, I mean, there have been studies on this. That's one of the reasons life expectancy is shorter in third world countries. You poop, and then bugs move. You know, your parasites can move, physically move, and they can make it back into your house or back into your food or back into your... So if one person gets sick, everybody gets sick. You know, if you get worms or you get... I don't know how this turned so specific. I guess
talking about what you did in Ecuador to help people. You know, this is part of the reason. I mean, we do this podcast. You know what I mean? So we can help people.
I agree.
Patreon.com. You can help Kirk. Patreon.com/autastic. Help Kirk go to Ecuador next year and help more people.
We could put together, I was thinking about this too. I get people hit me up. The guy who runs Yonkers was asking me last night. He's like, I want to go. He's Dominican. No, Puerto Rican. Whoops. He'll be upset about that.
He will.
And he's like, I want to go do that. And I'm like, we'll go. And Dave Williamson, I don't know if you know Dave Williamson in LA. He runs that show at Flights. He's talked about putting together a trip for comedians. Not Christian, just comedians. And so we've talked about doing it.
I mean, I think the people of Ecuador would pay us to keep us away.
Keep you away.
Well, I can't imagine how horrible that work, how slow that... and disorganized that work crew would be.
I think they'd be laughing. Maybe not, though. No, the jokes would be in Spanish. My jokes are good in Spanish.
One time I moved, I broke both my arms and I had to move.
Perfect.
And I needed a bunch of friends. And who is free during the day and who are my friends? Comedians. And then my uncle and my cousin helped me. And by halfway through the day, my uncle and cousin, they were just like looking at each other like...
Tell comedians. These guys to leave. Just tell them.
No
to leave
one was working. Everyone's like holding like one tennis racket, walking down the stairs. It's just like, come on, morons. Great people,
but good presentation. Yeah. Look what I'm doing. I'm moving, everybody.
Yeah, joking around, tickling each other.
Tickling each other.
Well, you know what I mean.
Just a bunch of grown men intellectually tickling each other.
Yeah, but that's great, Kirk, and. I'm glad it's a good update for Sebastian's family and success. And I hope you give your body a rest. You know, Well, you know what you could do is you could go to the beach, hang out, man.
I took a couple days at the end and went to the beach, hung out with my mom, did some reading. I read 4 books. If you're looking for book recommendations, Nelson Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom, very inspiring, oddly enough.
Yeah.
It's really good, actually, though.
I'd like to read that.
It's actually very good.
Yeah, I imagine.
And very humbling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes your problems seem small by comparison.
Sure. You just put yourself in jail career-wise for 20 years. You can.
Well, he doesn't go to jail until he's like 46.
It's crazy.
And he still makes something of himself.
Yeah. I think he did all right after.
I think I've heard of him.
Yeah.
His Netflix special, excellent.
What did he live to, like 95 or something?
Something like that. I went to see his house one time. I was in South
Africa. Is Winnie still kicking?
They got divorced, right? So I think that's the second one. I think she's still around.
But Winnie was the one.
Yeah. I mean, he had at least three.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I was thinking about that, too. People have such complicated lives. You know, he kind of glosses over that. That's like in the 8th or 9th chapter.
His first wife,
not working. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not working out, I mean.
Yeah. Well, when you do that big a thing, you're like, oh, well.
It is interesting, though. Somebody's the bad guy in everybody's story. So, like, I'm sure one of those ex-wives
are complicated.
He's a bad person.
I mean, there's a level of, like, you know, murder is unforgivable and couple other things, but I don't know, dude. I mean, did it leave the world a better place? Yes.
Him? Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's very inspiring, too. Yeah, I recommend it if you're looking for some light reading.
Light beach reading.
I read Mother Teresa's book. It was, there's two of them, right? We could do our book.
That's a controversial figure right there.
Yeah?
Big time.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about this one here.
Yeah. Well, we don't have
air.
To.
Yeah.
But look into it. She's very controversial.
I've looked into it. I don't agree.
Okay.
But anyway. I mean, it's not like she walked away with anything.
Yeah, but, you know, did she leave the world a better place? That is up for debate.
What?
It is.
We take this off air. I've looked into it. We'll talk about off air.
Okay. She's a very good marketer.
Yeah, but the people that helped were legitimately helped. Let's talk about this off air. I feel like we're way off topic.
Okay. Yeah. We are off topic, and I don't know enough about it. I just know you know more than me. But it's worth a discussion later. But it doesn't matter. I don't know anything. Who cares? Moving on. You help people in Ecuador. You're a good guy.
That's not about me, but it is. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of people going through these things. So you're not alone, guys and gals. You're not alone. There's a lot of us going through these sorts of challenges.
Yeah. And that's why we do this, right?
That's it.
Should we do the article?
Let's do this.
I can't believe we've talked so long without going to the article yet.
You say we have time, hard time filling time. In person, it's totally different. It just whizzes by.
Well, I babble.
Yeah, I both do. This is Psychology Today, and I thought I sent it to Graham. Turns out I just printed it out, posted it on a telephone pole outside my room, and ranted about it.
Mm-hmm.
When John met Jordan. Sorry. Let's start from the beginning. When John met Jonah.
What messed up a name.
The first sentence.
You made it mess up. That's
the first sentence.
That is a record for the quickest you have messed up a name.
3 words in.
Yeah.
Made a mistake.
Jordan and Jonah.
Woo! Missing an R and a D. Recognizing a shared diagnosis is not enough. Earlier this year, Spectrum News published an article in search of a truce in the autism wars. You know, Jill Escher, our roving reporter, talks about this a lot because she has also some very...
A little burp off there. Good
for you. A little aggressive trolls who really don't like her, who... I'm not calling them disfigured. I mean, in the sense that send her mean messages about let autistic people speak for themselves. They're independent. Don't label them. You don't have to... talk for them. You don't have to be an advocate for them. We can do all this ourselves. And so we've had very serious discussions about this.
Well, you know what? It's a spectrum, and I'm sure the people who have autism that are messaging her, they can talk for themselves, but that's not who we're talking about.
Exactly. And the whole point of this is my son can't even send these messages.
Yeah.
He can't even read the messages.
Are you going to advocate for the nonverbal people that we're related to?
And if you are, hurry up because JJ's getting older. He needs help.
You're not going to advocate for Peter, I'll tell you that, who we just talked to. You don't care about him.
So, All right. So anyway, earlier this year, Spectrum News had published blah, blah, blah. The subtitle posed the question, can two sides come together to support all autistic people? The author was speaking metaphorically, but for years, I've thought that literally, physically, bringing the two sides together was the key to not healing the divide between autistic and self-advocates. Perhaps ameliorating it just a bit. How do you say this word? Ameliorati at the very top, second sentence.
Emulating. I've never seen that word before.
I'm going to skip it, and I'm going to edit this part.
No, keep it in.
So basically, perhaps...
Emulating? Were they trying to say emulating?
I think he's trying to say reconciling, but we'll look it up. If not healing the divide between autistic self-advocates and parents of severely autistic children, perhaps bridging the gap just a bit. Whenever I hear neurodiversity advocates discuss severe autism, I couldn't help but think of that great line from The Princess Bride that says, I do not think that word means what you think it means. I love that movie, by the way.
Me too.
I do not think it means what you think it means. No one who has spent any time with my son, Jonah, or his peers could sincerely argue that severely autistic kids can serve on the intra-agency autism coordinating committee, for example, or that the guardianship represents a gross human rights violation of a gene mutation. So I invited them. In 2016, when self-advocate and IACC member John Elder Robinson challenged my claim that my son Jonah's cognitively impairment precluded him from ever choosing where he wanted to live, I invited them to come over and ask Jonah himself. Writing about our conversation, I extended an open invitation to all self-advocates, one that I repeated over the following years. Please come. Before you make your absurd claims like autistic children who wander are just trying to escape abusive homes, or that, quote, everyone can achieve competitive minimum wage employment, or that, quote, ABA is torture. Come and spend a day with Jonah. And if you can get, and if you can't get to Pennsylvania, I added, I will make instructions. It's not that hard to find families like mine. I will make introductions, excuse me. It's not that hard to find families like mine, and no one ever accepted. Then, in January, I received an email from Karen Zucker, co-author with Jonathan Donovan of The Autism History, A Different Key. She had read about my invitation to John Robinson and wanted to make a film, a meeting between him and Jonah for a documentary inspired by A Different Key. Was that still an open option and an invitation? Here we go. I'm jumping ahead. When Jonah arrived at my house, March 14th, our greeting was brief. I introduced him to Jonah. Then, as Karen and John Donovan had requested, I left the two of them alone. But I had barely settled down in my kitchen with a book when I was summoned back into our foyer. John was sitting on our steps, and Jonah was ambling around the room, paying him no attention. John had been unable to engage him. Could I facilitate? Yeah, no duh. Okay, sorry. Keep my comments myself. Yeah, no duh. Could I facilitate? The three of us spent the rest of the afternoon together. When John joined my entire family for dinner, most of the talking, unsurprisingly, was between me and John, although Jonah did occasionally interject to ask me to, quote, make a fun list, or to get him some lemonade, or engage in one of my highly scripted routines that he enjoys, i.e. where Jonah says, chicken song, and then I have to say, I don't know what the chicken song is, and then he jumps up and down, beaming and clapping his hands. It reminds me of JJ has the same thing. It was like, he has these little things where he wants you to say, Bob, but I'm a tomato. And he likes to say, but I'm a tomato. But you have to say, Bob. And he goes, but I'm a tomato. But if you don't know, the first part doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
If I try to guess how the chicken song might go. Okay. If I try to guess how the chicken song might go, Jonah will interrupt and say my line for himself for me to repeat. I don't know what the chicken song is. So if she goes off script, he basically drags her back on script. My son doesn't think, nah, I'm a tomato. Anyway, John and I spoke a great deal about housing since that was a topic that had catalyzed this journey from 2016 IACC meeting to my kitchen. It turned out they were both basically in agreement that we needed to have a range of residential settings to meet the diverse needs and preferences of the autistic population. John told me he could see the appeal of peer-specific intentional communities. it's hard for me to understand sometimes the opposition to things like a community of people living together. I was happy to hear that. But for me, there was an even more important question. John had initially responded quite harshly when I told him that Jonah couldn't decide for himself where to live. Although he quickly apologized, his skepticism resonated with a larger claim made by many neurodiversity proponents, that the real problem isn't the profound cognitive impairments of Jonah and his peers. It's that parents like me simply don't understand our children, so that we need autistic adults to interpret for us. Lydia Brown, for example, insists autistic people understand other autistic people's experiences far better than any non-autistic person simply by the very nature of being autistic. In Neurotribes, Steve Silverman recommends that parents allow mildly autistic adults to translate, quote-unquote, their child's behavior into, quote, terms that parents can understand. In fact, there's an entire book of essays by autistic adults written for parents of autistic children entitled The Real Experts. Oh, brother. Sorry. The old brother was mine. That was not in the article. And this stupefying arrogance, this absurd claim that autistic adults who have never met Jonah know him better than his mother and father do, that despite the vast differences in cognitive ability, language, executive function, independence, and self-control, these self-advocates should decide the appropriate educational, vocational, and residential settings for Jonah because of the shared diagnostic category so broad it's become essentially meaningless. Honestly, it burns. So more than anything else, that's what I wanted to say to John. After a day with Jonah, did he have any revelations? Did he still think I had misspoken? John was straightforward. No, I can't talk to Jonah about where he wants to live. I don't feel I have any insight to offer about what he wants in the future. More fundamentally, he said, quote, I would be very hesitant to make that statement that autistic people can better advise you about child rearing than anyone else. When Karen interviewed me before John arrived, she asked me what I thought would happen when John and Jonah met. I said nothing. What I meant was that I knew John would be unable to divine Jonah's future plans about housing, not because of any lack of interest or effort on John's part, but because of Jonah's severe autism precludes him from making such plans. It's like, duh. But anyway, sorry, I'm holding my composure here. But it wasn't nothing. I learned something important that day from John. I realized that I've been painting autistic self-advocates with too broad a brush, and that while neurodiversity proponents are loud, they do not speak for Jonah. But they don't speak for John, or John Mitchell, or John Clemens, or Tijuana Herrera, and so many self-advocates who are true allies of parents in our common fight for maximizing the quality of life of all people with autism. And then she gives a thanks to everybody involved.
It's like the internet article. It's a great article. I love that everyone was an adult in it.
Yeah.
I love that it takes a lot to admit you're wrong. It's not a sign of weakness.
No.
It's a sign of strength. And I love, it's just a microcosm of the overall society, internet outrage culture we're living in right now, where we think that everyone is right wing or left wing or, you know, this or that or blah, 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 and we have nothing in common and there's going to be a civil war, and it's literally just a bunch of really loud bloggers and they're making a lot of noise, and we got a lot more in common, and people are essentially good.
I will add my two cents here at the end because I get so fired up about this, but I feel like, you know, we have a couple very specific negative reviews on the podcast. One of them where it says, and I hate to highlight the negative because I feel like that's the culture we're in, but it says specifically, why don't people with autism have a podcast? These guys don't even have autism, which, yeah, I'm aware I don't have autism, but I'm speaking for my son who doesn't have a voice.
We're speaking to parents and brothers and sisters of people with autism is what we're speaking.
Yes.
We exist. We're speaking to that. And like
I'm allowed to have a voice for my son.
Exactly.
I have a real experience.
And like you said off air, Kirk said this. He goes, make your own podcast.
Yeah,
I'm not the podcast police.
No.
You know, you just buy spend some money on microphones and a thing, and then you ask iTunes, and then they put it up, buddy.
Yeah.
Do it yourself. Make one.
Nobody's stopping
you.
Go ahead.
We are not
in fact, I think
stopping
it helps.
You. We're not.
Go we're just to saying it. Our opinion. I feel like it helps. If anything, it helps reach a different audience, which is even better.
You know what? That person's right. We're Nazis. And we're sorry.
I will say, though, Graham mentioned this on the last episode. And, guys, take a second to review, because I feel like people have a little axe to grind. They don't even listen to a full episode. They write a review. If you've listened to more than three of these things, just be like, just write down what you, hey, you know, it was interesting, I laughed, whatever. We'd really appreciate it.
Give us a review. It's the best way. It's the only way to get this out there. The more reviews, the more positive reviews, the more iTunes and Stitcher push us, the more people will see it. It is a free service. You will be giving the autism community, and I by giving us a review. Now, I know that seems like I'm giving us a lot of credit or trumping us up or whatever.
It's number one.
It's the number one podcast about autism. We get a lot of letters and tweets each and every week saying how much they enjoy it and what a service this is. Thank God there's a voice out there that isn't depressing. We would like to keep doing it, so please review and rate it. It'll take 30 seconds out of your time. You're probably listening to it on a device right now, or you're two clicks away. We would really appreciate it. Also, if you want to donate to patreon.com/autastic, patreon.com/autastic.
I do want to say my own Patreon spiel this time. Hopefully everybody doesn't fast forward it. There's some single parents that are in tough spots that we get those notes where they'll give $5 and then, you know, their situation changes and they have to. And I feel like I totally understand. That's great. Keep your money. It's more important to put food in your kids and housing.
Yeah.
But some people that listen to this podcast statistically have the ability to support this podcast. And we've over the years had people that give $500 a year because they feel like this is an important message to get out there. If you have the ability to do that and you run an organization or you're a person of means and you're like, you know what, I feel like this is an important, valuable message. I'll give these guys, you know, a couple bucks an episode. It's $500 a year. Whatever you can give, we appreciate it. We feel like your money is not wasted.
We can send you a receipt at the end of the tax season if that helps. I don't know if you can
write
it off.
It's not tax expendable, though. Don't take our advice.
Never mind. We are not scientists.
We are not a 501c3. It's not tax deductible.
Or what he said.
But, we feel like it's has value, guys, and either way, we love you. We love being able to support you guys, and follow us online. I'm at Kirk Smith Comedy on all social media. Graham, where you at?
I'm at Mr. Graham K on Twitter and at Instagram K on Instagram. Graham K is spelled like you see it on your screen, and I am also on Facebook. You can be my friend. Post videos on all platforms, stand-up stuff and sketches and everything. And that's about it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Do we do another episode?
We did it, guys. Have a great week. You can do it.